Carry On Dating, or A Tale of Two Stocking Shockers, by Kingswoman. Apologies for not saying cunt much in this story. I snuck in a cunt or two for my fans who are particularly fond of Middle English terminology, i.e. words like cunt. As the Proverbs of Hending puts it, Giver thy cunt to Kunig and Krawa after wedding. Oh dear, it all seems so easy when you're just writing a naughty story which you and your fans know is going to end in a good blowjob. Recently, I started looking around for some real-life dates, and it was much harder work than I thought it would be. You wouldn't think it would be that hard to pick up a guy. Even in the exclusive, expensive cocktail bar I go to. In fact, even at 5 in the afternoon, I get cruised by guys who are bemused when I say, "Sorry, 42 is too young, baby. Come back in 10 years. Once I got cruised by that older man, whom I wrote about in my story, Green Lady in Pursuit of Happiness. He was clearly a real player, so I was tempted. But he was married, and somehow that made me feel he wasn't going to take me seriously. I went to cafes, exhibitions, and political meetings, where I found myself talking very seriously with fellow political women, or flirting hilariously and to no purpose with safely married men, mere boys in their 40s, and guys who thought they were old enough to be safe from me. I mean guys of about 80 or 90. They're not really safe from me, but I let them imagine they are. It was all good fun. However, I was keen to actually give someone a blowjob after writing so lovingly about doing so. I tried getting to know a couple of my fans and putting a thread up on the Literotica Personals chat board. I met a couple of men in this way who lived too far away for more than a pleasant exchange of emails. I wanted a real old-fashioned face-to-face date, not a chat or PM or to go on Kick. Still not sure what that is. It sounds like a BDSM version of chat, kicking people. Eventually, I went on a dating website. I didn't expect much at first. I felt more optimistic when I saw many men had ticked as a turn-on, Erotica, flirting, intelligence, long hair. Although they don't usually like intelligence enough to go for someone whose favourite book is the Iliad. I put as my strapline, "You're either a liar or the most fascinating woman I've ever met." The guy I met in the bar said it to me. It worked well in scaring off the kind of men I wouldn't want to date anyway. I know that I am a good-looking, smart, funny woman with a soft, warm and generous heart. I have very long hair, and I am highly intelligent and a dreadful flirt, so I didn't worry about the low level of interest I was getting. I decided to go for a date with anyone who asked me out, unless he lived a long way away or was too young. If I really didn't think the person would suit me, I suggested he meet me for coffee rather than a drink or romantic dinner. We could have a good mutual grumble at least about how hard it is to get out dating, and who knew where it might lead. The first date to contact me liked walking and hiking. I said things like, "I have an old sporting injury to my knee. Be gentle with me. Not too much rough stuff." It's true about the sporting injury, although I didn't want to admit straight up that I got it playing rugby. If I do that, I get tempted to say, "Oh yes, I was a hooker," and other unsuitable things. I did hook a couple of times, so I actually know what goes on in a scrum. No, no, don't ask. Terrible things. Although, of course, we women don't indulge in what the guys call bag snatching. Okay, so we were going on a walk. I would be wearing my hiking boots. This was also my first actual real date in years. I didn't want to wear jeans and a thick jumper which would completely smother my cleavage. I found a pretty spring dress that looked cute with the hiking boots, some flowery spring lingerie, and I also decided I would wear grey woolen stockings. My spring dress is just long enough that he would never know, unless naughty things happened. I suspected this date was not a goer, but if he were and naughty things happened, I would be glad I'd worn stockings. On the train going over, I went to the toilet to adjust my stockings and make sure they were not slipping too far down. Disaster! The popper popped off one suspender. Imagine me sitting in a grubby train toilet with graffiti all over the pull-down nappy changing table, saying cunt in a way not usually found in Middle English literature, with one grey woolen stocking hanging by a single suspender. Being a woman of infinite resource and sagacity, I shrewdly figured I could still squeeze the popper into the suspender and it would hold up. Phew! The walk was beautiful, and we were lucky with the weather, as it rained lightly only once. We went down through a wood where the bluebells were just starting to emerge, along the riverside, then climbed up to a ruined chapel, where we snacked off my emergency supply of chocolate. When I was a ranger guide, my favourite bit of the long hikes we had to do to get our Duke of Edinburgh award was eating the emergency supplies of chocolate. These days, I actually enjoy the walking bits. However, I still take chocolate with me, just in case. My date didn't score well, in spite of the natural beauties of the walk. Remember that I'd warned him I have a dodgy knee, and although I coped, this certainly wasn't a gentle walk. At one point, we had to scramble over a rock full of boulders. I like to get a guy's rocks off, but I don't get off on enormous rocks when they're actual stone rocks, unless they're allotrope of carbon, arranged in that specific type of cubic lattice known as a diamond. There were also a lot of steep hillsides. My companion, who would courteously let me go first, must have got a good eyeful of thigh and stocking top on several occasions. However, he behaved with exemplary self-control, to my disappointment. Even when I saw some mistletoe growing on a tree and laughingly pointed out that he was walking right underneath it, he only gave me a very chaste touch of the lips for a kiss, and he blushed. We finished up with an excellent lunch at a pub on the riverside and a pint each of Cornish beer, Doombar. When the landlady apologised, saying that the beef was fatty and tended to be served pink, we were both very pleased to hear it, as that is how roast beef should be. I would say good English beef, but we were on the Welsh side of the river. I had a super day out. I wrote afterwards to thank my date for a lovely walk, not for lunch, as he made me pay for my share, in spite of getting to see my legs to full advantage. I wasn't sorry not to hear back from him, even though we liked meat the same way. I mean, I could say the same of any of my gay men friends, and I don't go round dating them more than once. Meanwhile, a gentleman of a certain age had sent me a message via the dating website, saying I have a lovely smile. I replied to say he did too, and even though I was sure it wouldn't lead to anything, I suggested we meet up for an afternoon pint in a local real ale bar. I figured we would have a good laugh and a flirt, and a good pint of beer. What more could you ask for? I'd better give his reasons for standing me up in his own words, or you might accuse me of being a liar and not the most fascinating woman the gentleman never got to meet. You're young, beautiful, and I assume a very interesting person to know. I'm usually a confident person, but in this case it doesn't seem like that. Well, being too beautiful and interesting is certainly an unusual and flattering reason for someone to stand you up. I replied, saying it's okay, and that in fact men often say after about 5 minutes in my company that they feel strangely out of their depth, so not to worry. Then we got into a bit of chat banter, and I pretended I was devastated. I said, don't worry about me. I will be okay on Friday. Just there, my favourite cocktail bar, crying into my floral martini. In fact, I will probably ask for a margarita and tell them not to bother to put salt round the rim. I will cry so many tears into it. By then, my gentleman friend was laughing so hard, he said he would meet up after all. Unfortunately, something happened at work that put me into a bad temper, and I was feeling messed about by him, so I put him off, saying I would catch up with him in a couple of weeks. Another sweet older guy messaged me, and I suggested we meet up for a cup of tea. After my experience with the previous gentleman, I was a bit circumspect and didn't flirt as much. He may have thought I was very demure. I'm afraid this often happens as I trot about in my tweed skirts and pearls. Then people are surprised when they find out what my sense of humour is actually like. I was finding it difficult to spot suitable men on the dating website. There were surprisingly few who were interested in rugby. Since I was looking particularly at men in Wales, this does seem like an anomaly. I can only assume that the men who are rugby fans in Wales are carried off by female rugby fans from the bars after Six Nations matches. We do get women here who come down into the city hunting for a man for the weekend, then throw him out on Monday morning. We call them the Valley's Commandos. Anyway, I started checking out guys who lived a little further away. I had been looking wistfully at one man's picture a few times in the lists, as he is a type I just happened to find sexy. I was working one Saturday morning in a city near him, so I plucked up courage and messaged to say some equivalent of, "I think you're sexy and am in the area. How about meeting up?" As soon as I'd sent the message, I decided I'd totally messed it up. I saw he was online, but had not even read my message. I cursed myself for putting a list of such highbrow books as my favourite reading. He clearly had looked at my profile, hated me, and wasn't even going to read my message. I had to remind myself that I'm fed up of people assuming I am a bimbette and treating me as such, and so I need to put a list of the things I actually like to read. I don't mind being with people who have never heard of Akhbar Esamed or Elizabeth David's bread book, as long as they respect me for having really read Millennium and Charisma among Pathans and actually baked things. See my birthday cake story for details. Trying to pick up dates, I felt tongue-tied and as if I had two left feet. It's much easier chatting online when I can read back what I'm typing, go away for a couple of hours, then think of another witty response and write it. But there's something so sexy about the messiness of trying to set up a real-life date. I knew I might even blush when sitting face to face and flirting with a real man in the flesh. Although probably not, as I've been practicing my skills on young builders for a few years, and they are usually the ones who blush. Of course my newfound piece of hotness got back to me after my flattering message and said he would be delighted to meet. He even engaged in flirtatious banter, which was promising. Although he also asked about one of the pictures I had put up. As well as photos of my physog, I had put up my profile picture from Literotica and SoundCloud. He asked me why I had a picture up of a Magnum ice lolly. I just said, "Oh, ha, 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 that's quite a story," which I like to think it is, as it has a red H for hotness. One of my gentleman friends said I must not reveal I post smutty audio stories until the fourth date. He said by then, dates will realise I am a nice woman, not a slag. They will be thrilled and excited that I am a nice woman with a naughty side. Meanwhile, I went along to meet the more elderly gentleman whom I had lined up, and we had tea and cakes in one of those proper tea shops. I introduced him to Iron Goddess of Mercy. No, not my dominatrix outfit. It's an oolong tea. On about the third mention of his ex, I was merciful myself and allowed my date to talk about her. I kind of feel when people are so keen to talk about their ex on the very first date, that perhaps they are not over it all. That date of mine under the mistletoe and over hill and dale also grumbled about his ex, and I did talk about mine too to keep the conversation going, but I didn't want to do so any more. My ex was generous to me in the end, and I'm still fond of him, so I put the past behind me. You can't cross the same river twice, as Heraclitus so wisely puts it. I have no objection to people treating a date as an unpaid therapy session, but they should not expect another date if they do so. You know what Mrs. Alltits would say they need? A good wank. There's nothing like a good wank for making you feel better about the world. Except for fantastic sex with someone hot and up for it, followed by lots of cuddles. I did achieve my main aim of the date with my older admirer, which was to take another and much more attractive photo of him for the dating website. His former one was a gloomy, cadaverous shot, which would only have appealed to someone living in a gingerbread house and wanting to feed him up, or someone like me, who is prepared to completely overlook badly taken selfies in case the person is just not a very good photographer. It is important on these sites to have a photo with a smile, and I hope he gets more friendly dates and other women can have the pleasure of tea and cakes with him. He tried to pay for the tea, which I think is a gentlemanly courtesy, and he also courteously let me pay for my half when I insisted. In date speak, what that means is, I really like you and would like to meet again. You're cute, but I'm not going to let you shag me. Him being okay about it meant he would not hassle me and make a nuisance of himself by pestering me to go back and drink more oolong and lapsang souchong. Ugh, the restricted code of dating linguistics. Undaunted by the popper disaster on my first date, I decided I would wear stockings along to my third and hottest date, even though I had to go to work before going on to my assignation. However, the popper disaster had left me without the dubious support of my flimsy old suspender belt. I felt vague dissatisfaction for years with the suspenders you can get on the high street, which seem to be designed for one-off wear on your wedding night. Let's hope the marriages hold up longer than the suspenders. A kind guy I met online, who also likes to wear lacy lingerie, had turned me on to a good site with great alternatives. He turned me on in other ways too, but he lived too far away, more's the pity. I hadn't had time to get a sturdy six-strap replacement, and I thought it would be too much to wear my BlackBerry Basque on a first date. However, I do own a fetching peach brand panty set, decorated in black embroidery, which has black suspenders you can hook into ingenious loops sewn discreetly on the panties. I've had trouble with these before, but I thought that wearing them with hold-ups I would not have any problems. Wrong! I caught the bus early in the morning down to the train station, and, like the captain of a submarine on which a mutiny is brewing, was already aware of trouble down below. As I walked along from the bus stop, matters were becoming critical. Maybe I'm not curvaceous enough, but I find hold-up stockings never actually hold up on my muscular thighs, and I always have to wear suspenders as well. Anyway, these misnamed hold-ups were sliding down instead of holding up. The pull-downs were pulling on the suspender straps attached to my black-embroidered peach panties. By the time I was on the stairs, going up to the train, the panties had slid over my arse cheeks and were halfway down my thighs, round where the stocking tops ought to have been, but weren't any more. My cunt was enjoying the benefit of the fresh morning breeze blowing along the platform. I live near the coast, so this was probably healthy sea air, which is some consolation for my embarrassing predicament. I managed to pick up a smoked salmon and cream cheese breakfast roll, looking intently into the eyes of the guys behind the stall to make sure they didn't glance down at my legs at all. I staggered onto the train, where I was able to adjust my netherwear in the toilet. I just about got through work as I was sitting down. Afterwards, however, With a brisk walk ahead of me to meet up with my hot date, I decided enough was enough. Luckily, I'd put on my top boots, because I knew I'd have to walk a fair bit. I unhooked the suspenders from the peach panties, put them away in my handbag, and rolled my stockings down into the boots round my fatted calves. It was a shame, as the stockings had that nice shimmer which shows off your legs, but since I was in boots, I wasn't showing off my legs to their full glory anyway. Someone did once comment to me as I walked out of a bar, after explaining he was too young, "Nice legs," to which I replied, "Yes, my tits are not bad either." As for my date, it was chaotic, it was funny, it was sunny. There were swans on the harbour waters. We drank too much, said too much, and spent hours wandering around, chatting and chatting. It was great. Towards the end, I shan't tell how it happened that he noticed this, he said my legs were very cold. I was a bit drunk by then, so I laughed and told him about the stocking disaster, and he said, "I like stockings." This was so promising that I went on a second date with him. In fact, although I was worried it would be too much, I wore my BlackBerry Basque and matching knickers on the second date. My Basque is extremely difficult to put on by yourself, as it has to be hooked up with a lot of small hooks and eyes at the back, so you can tell how much I wanted to pull this hot guy. To do the Basque up, I had to do up 5 of the hooks at the front first, then twist the Basque round the curve of my tummy and put my arms in the ruched shoulder straps, wriggling my boobs in. Reaching behind me in a manner which pushes my breasts right out and strains the Basque, making things even more difficult, I then had to hook up the Basque at the back. Twice I hooked into the wrong eyelet, and had to undo the Basque and start again, with my tits sticking out, straining against the BlackBerry cups of the Basque, and my very long hair all over the place. My date accused me of undoing a couple of buttons on my dress at a key moment to reveal the splendours of the BlackBerry Basque, matching knickers and lace-topped black stockings I was wearing underneath. Honestly, the buttons just are loose in the holes. I may have been wriggling at the time. I will admit, though, that I wore a red dress made of some clinging material, even though I knew it was showing the outline of the suspender straps under it. I was worried it would all be too much. However, I was reassured by the very warm friendliness of a total stranger who sat opposite me on the train. Also, when I got off the train and offered my ticket to the guard at the barrier, he said, "Thank you very much, very nice," without looking at or collecting my ticket. A hard man is good to find. I mean, you have to go to considerable trouble to sort out the good men who like intimacy from the dull ones who won't even take you out to see the rugby. I figured that the kind of guy I want to be with would not think a Basque and stockings are too much on a second date. And I was right. Like most of my best stories, it ended in a delicious blowjob. I can't tell you how happy I was to finally be able to suck cock after waiting so long. As for the buttons, I say it was serendipity. There's a lovely romantic word coined by Horace Walpole from a Persian fairy tale, The Three Princes of Serendip. The English language is so full of interesting words, although I know my fans are mostly keen on the Germanic ones, like cunt. In the end, my new friend and I had to agree that the distance between our respective homes made a long-term relationship unlikely. There were other things too. I know I am a handful, although my new friend was complimentary about my tits, especially in BlackBerry Basque cups. I was kind of sad about it, as he is a very delicious, sweet man. I am talking about his character here, you understand? Not necessarily anything about him I might have sucked on. Dating is fucking hard work, if you are lucky. By the time I did strike lucky, I felt very sympathetic to teenagers. No wonder they sleep so much and are so grumpy all the time. At least I'm old enough not to have to worry about being a virgin, or whether my date will think I'm too fat, too thin, not smart enough, too smart. I mean, of course I worry about these things, but I know by my time of life that they don't really matter. Me and my dates are older and wiser. We know that good sex does not depend on having a perfectly toned tummy, although it does help if you have a little imagination. I had a good time on all my dates. It was fun going for a spring walk and for a cup of oolong tea. I was sorry I didn't get to go for a pint of beer with my most elderly admirer. Perhaps I still will. Most of all, it was just lovely being out and about with someone sweet and hot who made it plain that he thinks I'm sex on legs. If the special one turns up, who is able to handle the fact that I put the arse into class and my many other assets, that would be great, of course. However, while I wait for Mr. Mourinho to realise that rugby is a much better game than football, Mr. Sweet and Hot has made me feel as special a sparkle as a 2002 Krug. My advice to anyone thinking of dating sites is, go for it. Just get out there and have a good time. Why do we get so anxious about meeting up with someone who also wants to meet up with someone looking for a date? What have we got to lose? Only our hearts.